Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Starting a family is undoubtedly an exciting time, but the reality of seeing a positive pregnancy test can send even the most laid-back woman into a spiral of sleepless nights. Trust me, I've been there. We're here to tackle the conundrums that keep many mums-to-be, just like me, awake at night when they find out their life is about to change forever. Hello and welcome to Baby on the Brain, a podcast brought to you by Stylist magazine, dedicated to the big life questions you face when you find out you're pregnant. My name is Fliss, I'm the digital executive editor at Stylist and I'm pregnant with my first child. I am 32 weeks and really feeling it now. Every week I'm joined by a different co-host, but today we're doing things a bit differently. Nina Malone, founder of the Dope Black Mums movement, is taking over as host, and I will be her co-host for the episode. Together, we're going to be discussing today's big question, which is all about motherhood through the lens of a black woman, and more specifically, digging into the mental health challenges that surround being a parent. Together, we want to explore the joys, the challenges, the differences for black women and those from other minority groups when they find out they're pregnant and how this might affect their mental health. Hi, Nina. Thank you so much for agreeing to take over Baby on the Brain for this episode. I am officially handing the reins over to you from now on. It is yours.
Oh, eek. Hi, everybody. Thanks, Bliss. Thanks so much for having me. Honestly, we were talking on Twitter and now we're here doing a podcast, so
I know
it's brilliant. I'm really honored to be here. I think this conversation is really important. I think we need to keep on having it and keep on having it and keep on having it in as many ways that we can, across as many platforms as we can, just to so it really lands for all of us, yep. For women, for supporters, for all yep. parents, new mothers, everybody. We need to keep on talking about it. So I'm Nina Malone, dope black mum of two. And I'm just excited, really excited to be here. I remember being a new mom and feeling so anxious all the time, feeling nervous, so many different messages yeah. coming in, so many bits of well-meaning advice coming from parents and friends, from strangers yeah. on the street. Yeah. Everyone just feels like you're open and I'm here to take your advice. So I just remember feeling scared to leave the house, feeling like I'm doing it all wrong. And recently I was looking for pictures of me in my first year of pregnancy and I couldn't find hardly anything because I was either taking the picture or hiding from taking the picture. So I've just been thinking as we've been talking, just the anxiety around the social isolation caused by the pandemic has added yeah. so much more pressure that it's really crucial that we keep on talking, we keep on Absolutely. Checking in on each other. And that as new parents, we seek advice. So I'm really, really excited to be having this conversation.
I can't believe that strangers on the street gave you unsolicited advice.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's outrageous.
Totally, like, oh, it's a bit cold. Don't you think you should be doing this? Or have you got? And I was just like, and it just adds to everything. And then you're already sleep deprived. You're already anxious. You're already panicking. They're like, oh, should I have put another layer on? I mean, she's got five on. Should I put another one? And it plays into everything. And if that is a day where you're not feeling strong, where you've had less sleep, yeah, I sometimes start crying. I'll be like, my God, am I an awful person? Did I miss that? Did I forget all the thousands of things I should be bringing? Have I remembered this? Am I an awful mother? You know, and those sort of things, when I was sleep deprived and I was in my first year, will reduce me to tears. So it feels like it's a good time to bring on our guest. I'd love to welcome the fabulous Keely Tanaver. Keely, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. We brought you on just to talk through everything mental health and specifically challenges faced by Black mothers in 2021. So what's your understanding of the landscape right now?
Well, I'm very much aware of the news stories about a disproportionate deaths for Black women, which is incredibly, you know, shocking and concerning, and just brings another tear to my eye thinking about discrimination and what that may mean. And generally what it may mean for, you know, being a mum who is Black and the challenges that may come from that, you know, in terms of lifestyle, birth order, you know, career, class as well. And I think we don't give sufficient attention to class and how that impacts on our well-being, impacts on our capacity to be able to be articulate with other professionals as well. And a part of me, you know, as I was taking in the news about this kind of disproportionate representation, I couldn't help but also be thinking about class as well as how that also intertwines with the shocking figures.
Mm. Totally. And what do you think we can be doing to protect pregnant women, protect their mental health? Any things that we should be looking for? Anything that we can do to support as a friend or as a pregnant woman?
Yeah, I think one of the things, one of the areas that's often shown up in therapy is I've had a lot of pregnant women who come in thinking that, well, they've basically come because sometimes they've gone to their doctor, been concerned that their energy is low, had blood tests, and actually haven't even considered looking at their life critically to work out what needs to go and what needs to stay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, my energy's low. I'm going to get a blood test because I can't keep juggling all the balls that I've been juggling all my life.
I think that's so easy for us to do, isn't it? Just that mental load, that mental labor. And I remember some of my friends just dropping me a text. I didn't even have to reply, but just a text saying, I'm thinking of you. Or even just coming round and doing the washing up, or coming round and maybe batch cooking some meals and labeling it and making it all pretty and the Tupperwares and putting it in the freezer. Just things to take off of that. Because like you said, if there are women who are not even thinking about their lifestyle, but straight only thinking about blood pressure, you're missing a trick, aren't you?
Also, it must be I feel like it's such a woman thing to do. It's such a female thing to do, to take on all of the weight of everything and juggle something, and suddenly you're not feeling well and you go, well, there must be something biologically wrong with me.
Totally.
It's my body's giving up because I should be doing all of this stuff very well.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
It's crazy. Yeah,
isn't that sad?
Absolutely.
That's the first thing you think of, rather than let me sit back. And I think that's when the safe spaces come in. You need your trusted friends who really, really know you, who you can rely on, you can be vulnerable in front of, but most importantly, can call you out on your own ish.
Yes.
You know, when you're playing yourself. So like they can maybe think, well, actually, maybe it's not your blood pressure. Maybe you're still doing a zillion things and maybe you need some help. And that is being vulnerable and asking, which is tricky to say, hang on, I need to step back. I need to take a step back and have a look at everything that's going on for me.
Yeah, I think culturally there's a massive challenge around asking for help, because it, just as Nina spoke about, that word vulnerability. And the challenge is, if I'm hyper strong and I'm a go-getter and I'm proudly describe myself as an alpha female, a go-getter, then actually feelings of inadequacy or weakness have to be rejected and suppressed.
Yeah.
And that's where therapy is incredibly helpful, to get people to begin to connect with their vulnerability. For many of the clients I've worked with, even the word depression isn't used. Many of my Black clients will say, I've got low mood. And because I'm also a coach, they'll come to see me as a coach, but what we're doing is psychotherapy, but we can't call it that.
Oh, that's so interesting. And that's the vulnerability.
I think it's everyone being conscious of being labelled. So if you're going to a therapist, or if you're going to a head shrink, there must be something wrong with you. When really, your body's saying, actually, let's just take a minute, take a step back. It doesn't mean that you are mentally unstable, though we all are. Come on, let's face it. To a certain extent, we all are. But
amen.
I think everyone has those safe spaces. Everyone has those people that play the role of a therapist, I think labeling it like that. I mean, this could be coming from your barber. It could be coming from your nail tech. Anybody that you sit down with, have a moment, and you can offload either people that know you or don't know you. Just the act of being able to actually say it, whether you physically say that or write that down, that is therapy. That is therapeutic. I think people just find the labels difficult. Like, this means that there's something wrong with you, when really it's healthy. We have done this in generations in many guises, with many different labels, but it's I think it's all the same thing. I think, going back to your earlier point, for Black women actually asking for help, I think practically what's difficult is, historically, Black women haven't been believed. So then the reason why these, part of the reason why these numbers are rising for maternal death rates amongst Black women is, you're going and talking to a GP and you're getting shunned away, or you're not being believed. So then if that keeps on happening, why would you go back? And that takes effort practically to go to the GP. If you've got another child, to find childcare, if you're at work, to take leave, that takes effort to go there, be open, be brave and say, I'm struggling, this doesn't quite feel right, and then to be turned away. Also, the more dangerous problem, it says, actually, no, your gut isn't right. What you think you're feeling isn't actually happening. And we need to trust our gut, especially when you're pregnant, especially in these times, you need to trust that. So be brave, and it's fine to go and ask for a second opinion. You're allowed to go and ask for a second opinion.
As a woman who is pregnant now and is like mildly petrified about the future, how did you guys find it when you were pregnant for the first time with, you know, your mental health? Did you worry about it? Was it something you actively thought about, or actually were you just in absolute get it done mode and you kind of powered through your pregnancies?
So I have two children, and both my pregnancies were quite different, actually. The first time, like you were just saying, I really powered through, but then got called in for blood clots, for preeclampsia, which then, you know, you really start to panic. I had to give myself injections twice a day for the majority of the pregnancy. So for me, yeah, powered through the first time, but wouldn't suggest it. You know, I think if you can take a step back, I think going back to these safe spaces, these trusted people that you have around you, if you can just take a step back just to look. Like Keely was saying earlier, it could not be a technical issue. It could not be a medical issue. It could just be a lifestyle issue. And that could be resolved quite easily with your friends and family and loved ones around you. So I didn't do that the first time. The second time around, I went into it with a lot more clarity. And it was a lot easier, but I really had to protect my energy, had to protect my mental space. I had to make an effort to be aware of what information I was taking in. Like I said, there were strangers giving me advice, there's friends and family giving me advice, and this advice is then conflicting, and you know, nothing makes sense, the same thing. So I, first time around, I really stressed myself out about that. And next time around, again, I trusted my gut and trusted to be vulnerable, to take some space. I accepted everything. I was like, yes, come around, clean the house. Yes, come around, batch cook for me. Yes, do all these things. I'm not going to feel a way about it. Because before it's like, oh, someone's coming around. Okay, I better quickly put my hair up. And do I have a bra on?
And
do I smell?
Yes.
Have I had a shower?
And Hoover.
I shaved?
Yes. Do I need to Hoover? Oh my God.
Do I need to do that?
Stay.
Yeah.
Like I can't have anyone come in here because, you know, I haven't picked anything up, but I can't move because my sciatica is so bad.
Exactly. So this is what I mean. So those trusted friends, if they could see you with no bra in your house in a state, great, because those could be the people who could also come around and just do a bit of washing up or do a bit of cooking or just sit with you in the mess, you know, but you just need those people with you. And your body has changed. There's so much hormones and everything going on. I like grew a beard. I had these like really weird, like wiry hairs coming in really weird places. I was kind of aware of and slightly conscious of, and then also didn't do anything about because, you know, what can you do? So I think you're just so aware of everything that it sounds simple, but again, these friends, these trusted people, I think they can make all the difference. If you're just vulnerable and say, look, I'm not going to be embarrassed. I do need a bit of help with the clearing up. I do need a bit of help with cooking. Mm. And if I forget this, you're here to remind me, you know. And sometimes you can just come around and, like I said, do a bit of washing up or get the dustpan and brush out. And it makes you feel better, doesn't it, when you can see your space is clear. And, yeah. You know, I think that really definitely helped me. How was it for you, Keely? How was your first pregnancy?
Well, mine was very different. I was working at IKEA at the time and I was in my late teens. It was a surprise pregnancy, one might say. My body was a breeze. My body adapted really well.
Amazing. I
carried on working. And I had no complications. I had a natural birth. And I think when I think about, my daughter's now 22, my second daughter is 20. The when I think about that pregnancy, all I remember is the value of disposable knickers. If you disposable knickers are the way to go. You just wrap the lot up and it's gone.
Done.
Yeah. I think whilst my body was probably, it's because I was young. I think one of my biggest challenges was the relationship that I was in. And I think once I became pregnant, I seemed to not be as interested. He lost interest. And I think that for me was very incredibly difficult, realizing, whoa, hold on, you know, I'm going to be doing this alone-ish, sort of, because then he'd come back around. And I think that realization was particularly difficult. And it was probably through that process I began reading self-help books. That's where my journey into self-help books began. And then 2 years later, I got pregnant again, as you do, because we weren't together. And I thought, right, I'm going to come off the pill. And I got pregnant again. And I decided, you know, that it was a gift. And so that pregnancy was just a lot harder because it was really clear to me I was going to be doing that on my own. But for me at that time, I think that's where family and my relationships with my family really came to the fore. I got closer with my mother, and I think, you know, I know that that's not available to everybody, but that relationship, you soon realize how much you've taken from mum. And for me, I really needed that support. So I think physically I was fine, but the psychological challenges in terms of the relationship breakdown, financial troubles was particularly difficult, but it also gave me a clear vision that I needed to change my life.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I suppose the interesting thing for me, having done some reading and some research and really tried to educate myself on the differences between my pregnancy as a white woman and pregnancies that Black women and other minority groups go through. And I have been doing a bit of reading on a movement called Five Times More, which was started... because Black women in the UK are 5 times more likely to die during pregnancy and childbirth in comparison to white women. And that's a stat that has actually, it's not changed in a very long time. So what, I suppose I'm trying to understand from my education what I can do as an ally, but also how can we help black women who are pregnant right now looking at that statistic, because that is really, really petrifying.
And it's been going on for ages, and it's not decreasing. It's staying the same if rising. Yeah, I think we all have to keep on speaking about our experiences. I think you doing this podcast is amazing, and I think that might give people the strength and wisdom to be able to speak on their own experiences. I think, again, finding those safe spaces help. Mm. I think urging people again to get those second opinions, because it's really important that you believe. So part of the issue, part of this statistic, is just that black women are simply not being believed or not going in. There's already a deep mistrust of medical professionals in the black community. So to then go and say, to get up the courage to go and say, this doesn't feel right, when you've got your childcare sorted, you've taken leave off work, and then to be told to go away, is a lot. To trust your gut and go back again, that's where the safe space comes in. That's where hearing other people talk about their stories comes in. So I think urging everybody to keep on talking, get that second opinion, that third opinion, that fourth opinion, trust your gut, you know, because you know your body better than anybody else. And we need to document everything. Every time women are going to medical professionals, if they're getting refused treatment, it needs to be written down in your maternity notes. It needs to be seen, so that when we are coming with these petitions, when we're talking to politicians, when we're having this conversation, you can see, no, this is actually happening. This is real. You can see it documented here. And so many times, it's either not being taken seriously, it's not being heard by the right people, and it just needs to stop. I have this conversation about 5 times more, probably once a week. You know, it comes up all the time, and we are constantly being affected, and it doesn't really seem to be changing. It's great to be having a conversation. So if we're still having this conversation in a year, you know, that's when you can see if change is really happening.
I feel there needs to be something tangible. There needs to be something more than just being able to write to your MP. And you know, these are the discussions that I'm trying to enter into, because, you know, it's really pushed me to think about what life is like for people who don't have, maybe even people who don't have the privileges that I have. And I'm not just talking in terms of race, but as Keely mentioned earlier, you know, there's classism going on in maternal rights. There's so much at play here, and it just shouldn't be like that. It just should not. The world should not be like that, but it is. And I suppose it's up to us to unpick that and make it right. And, you know, as I suppose as 3 women right now having the conversation, we're taking that big first step, and you guys are doing a hell of a job to do that as well.
And I think it's keeping the conversation going. So like we were talking about, those petitions that you have written, the funding that you have given, checking in on them 3 months, 6 months, a year later, the petitions you are writing, keep checking in on it. Keep sharing it. Keep on having the conversation. 5 times more have an amazing resource on their website. They have a petition which you can sign. They also have a letter which you can download, a template that you can sign to your local MP. We could all do that after listening to this podcast, and that would be
absolutely. We will. I will make sure that that's signposted on Stylist, actually, just to really push that point. But Keely, do you think it stops women, and especially black women, coming to get help for their mental health, the distrust perhaps in the medical system?
Most definitely. I think there's always a fear of being diagnosed, labelled, and having medication that goes alongside that. I think that's a very real fear for people. And it's personally, it's one of the reasons I work in private practice, because I don't necessarily come from the medical model. I'm much more interested into the biopsychosocial model of people's well-being challenges. And I'm more interested in looking at them from a holistic perspective. And I think people know that. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, I've done particularly well in private practice because people trust that, because I am outside of the system and I work independently. It's incredibly beneficial for people that that trust is already there, which provides the safe space for people to bring the challenges and talk about, you know, I guess it's also, you know, it links into cultural competence, that people feel safe that they can talk about their experiences and know that I get it. You know, it's a bit like when you just mentioned, it's like you only get it now in terms of what your friend was going through because you're now pregnant.
Yep, absolutely.
And, you know, and so there's that relationship, which then empowers me to also refer to, and sometimes I do refer clients back into the NHS, but they do so maybe with support with myself, with a letter, or that I might encourage them to seek help from some of the other practitioners at Key for Change who also work in the system, but they can help them navigate it a lot easier. So it's particularly helpful.
I think, you know, we've all got to work together to really, really push this forward, haven't we? I want to balance this out with touching on the joys of pregnancy, because I'm so aware that we could sit here and all day have a conversation about all the awful things in terms of course, the injustice and the racial injustice and the comparison, and also just the horrible physical symptoms sometimes of pregnancy. But there's got to be some joy in this, right?
It feels to me like joyful stress. Yeah, there's a lot of joy. There's a lot of joy. And I have two young kids and it has been a real life changer for me. They teach me things every day. Mm-hmm. They show me myself every day. It's like walking into a mirror, bang, every single day, multiple times a day, because it really tests your beliefs, your practice. It tests the very core of who you think you are. When you're sitting there having debates with a two-year-old, you know?
That is petrifying.
Like, well, I think for me, I had a great, an easy pregnancy and a great birth. And I think one of the things that really stood out for me is the legacy. My mother is of Jamaican heritage. My dad is white. And being in the NHS, in the bosom of the organization that encouraged my grandparents to come to this country, and seeing Caribbean women, African women, Asian women, white women working and being able to benefit from that expertise, it was actually really profound in terms of my own history and my own story, because at the heart of the NHS is, you know, such a diverse population who assist and support and help. And I think for me that was, it's just beautiful. As a private practitioner as well, I support lots of clients who are also now working, midwives who also work in the Middle East as well, because there's something about the training that people, midwives, have in the UK that is highly regarded around the world. Mm. And I'm incredibly, like, that's really beautiful to see so many people having really different experiences, because their qualifications from the UK open doors in other countries, enabling them to have very different lifestyles, you know. So that for me does give a sense of joy and pride. And I think, you know, being a mother and now having adult children who have their own personalities, but also have watched me, you know, I carry a lot of guilt as a mother who was single, who used education as a transformative tool to get myself out of kind of that kind of just existing and surviving. That actually, you know, I wasn't there for the school runs. I wasn't the mum cooking from scratch. I was the mum who was, you know, going from one degree to another degree, then starting a practice. And they're like, hold on, like, when does this stop? And it's actually just this year I've been able to buy my own house. And I'm grateful for that. One of my eldest daughter has her own cake business and she's doing really well. And my other daughter is now I think she's her business manager, because she's the one who does the detail. So,
amazing.
You know, there is.
But they've seen you do that. You've modeled that and they've picked all of that up. So, you know, that guilt, all that experience is what they, is that tenacity, that energy to go and get it. That's amazing. That's you. And What joy have you felt? Are you feeling after a few weeks?
I don't think today's the day. Do you know what? It's I am trying to embrace all the little feelings that I'm starting to allow myself to feel. So I suppose I've never felt very maternal, never really embraced any sort of emotion. And now I'm starting to think, oh God, there's going to be a tiny human being who's going to call me mum, which is the strangest thing in the whole wide world. And actually, in terms of embracing her heritage and her background, she will be mixed race. And I'm literally so excited to have like walk that path with her and show her all the amazing parts of her heritage. From, you know, there's parts of Pakistan, there's parts of Kenya, there's parts of Leicester, you know, the three very beautiful places. I'm trying to embrace the whole package, because I think it's a good time to do it, and that's the joy for me at the moment.
Keely, thanks so much for joining us. It's been so wonderful hearing all of your thoughts, your advice, your wisdom. I know this has resonated with so many people, so thank you so much. I'm sure we can put links to Key for Change so we can find out more about what you do and if anybody wants to contact you directly. So just thanks so much for stepping in and sharing with us today.
Beautiful. Thank you.
That was brilliant.
I had
so much fun talking with you today. I really, really learned a lot, and just remembering everything that goes into motherhood, to pregnancy, just all the complexities, the layers. Really, really, really good to talk about. What have been the best moments for you? What are the takeaways for you?
I think it's so reassuring to speak to women who have been there, but also have experience with such support. And I don't just mean supporting their friends, but what you and Keely both do in a professional sense is so important. And I've just, even having half an hour to speak with you guys has made me feel reassured. And actually, like, I'm ready to fight for this now, and I'm ready to fight for everyone else to have that level of support, because I want everyone to have access to it. I would love everyone to have half an hour with you both. It should be on the NHS.
Yeah, let's make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's my next campaign. But I think the phrase I will take with me from this is joyful stress. Because no matter who you are, no matter what kind of support you've got access to, even if you are, you know, stuck on your own in a pandemic, you don't have a partner and you found yourself pregnant, that we should all be able to find ourselves some level of joy in that, no matter how stressful it is, because, you know, it is a beautiful thing. And that's what I'm taking from it, joyful stress.
Yeah, I think it really is. And I think it's just important to remember that no one knows what they're doing. Everybody is making it up. You know, everybody is a first time parent for the first time. And no one's got a guidebook. There's no correct way to do this. We are all making up as we go, with the knowledge that we have. So just like you said earlier, oh my God, I've been an awful friend. But now you know, you will be a support to your friend.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it's just really remembering that. And I have these talks to help me walk the talk. You know, it's so easy to forget that. And I say that saying this. So I think for me, it reminds me of the importance of that safe space, of the finding those friends, those trusted few that really, really know you, that you can be vulnerable with, that you can be yourself wholeheartedly, that can also pull you out on your own shiz, on your own ish, when you are kind of playing yourself, when you may not be doing something, when you may holding yourself back, getting in your own way because of fear rather than love. And your friends who know you well, and I'm talking about maybe under five people, you know, can call you out on that. And I've found that in these digital safe spaces, but you can do that anywhere. But I think it's important, really important, because with the sleep deprivation, with all these messages coming in, with all your hormones going around, with the pandemic, there's so much flying around that you need that space that's going to anchor you, that one thing, whether that is your music or religion or exercise or meditation or spirituality, whatever it is, you need something that's going to stay secure, and that could be your friends. I would urge everyone to trust their gut, really get connected with your gut, and whether you have to do that by taking some time for yourself, taking some still time. We don't have to call it meditation, but just taking a moment to reconnect so that when you are in a space where something doesn't feel right, especially when you're pregnant, you can go and get that first opinion, that second opinion, that third opinion, whatever you need to do to get you the answers to make you feel reassured. If you need one of your trusted friends to be your advocate, to speak on your behalf because you don't have the language, you don't feel confident, or you don't have the access, do it. I think the alternative is too great. So
absolutely.
Why not? I think mainly just trust your gut. Don't ignore it. And lastly, just to document everything when you're going to the medical professionals, and this is touching back on the Black female experience, document everything. If you refused any treatments, make sure it's written down in your maternity notes by a doctor or a midwife. State their names, state the reasons why. Really, really get into it, because it's going to help us when we are talking to the politicians, when we're having these conversations, when we are trying to understand why these stats are here, they exist, and they are actually rising. I think if everyone could go to 5timesmore.com, have a look at the movement, have a look at what they're doing, have a look at their messaging. They've got templates, they've got a petition. That is what I'd urge everybody to do, if they can take 5 minutes just to have a think about it. Really, just, it's impossible to understand someone else's experience, but taking a moment to just think about it, I think that would really help.
Absolutely. Well, Nina, thank you so much for taking the reins on this episode. And I am so grateful that you are here and that Keely joined us and that we had this discussion. Well, that's all for this episode of Baby on the Brain. A special thank you goes out to Nina for hosting this awesome episode, and our guest Keely for being so honest with her answers. You can tweet us at Stylist Magazine, find us on Instagram, and use the hashtag #StylistBabyOnTheBrain. Next week, I'm joined by stylists Natasha Gandotra as my co-host, and influencer Molly Carnan will be our guest. And we'll be tackling the big questions we have about jealousy. Remember to subscribe, share, and leave us a review on the App Store.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.